everybody. Welcome to Steelers.com Live. I'm Missy Matthews, and joining me today is Craig Wolfley of the Steelers Radio Network and Bob Labriola of Steelers.com and Steelers Digest. Hi, guys.
Hi, Missy. Tomlin Tuesday. Here we go.
Oh, you jumped the gun. I was going to get a chance to say Tomlin Tuesday.
Sorry.
It is Tomlin Tuesday. Coach Tomlin holding his press conference at noon today. So let's get to the injuries and kind of some of the updates that Coach was able to give us. Larry Foote did have surgery today on his ruptured bicep. Lerod Stevens-Helling will have his ACL repaired tomorrow. Then on Thursday, Marquise Pouncey will have surgery on his ACL, MCL. And we also got a little bit of an update on Sean Spiesum. Yesterday we told you, well, Labs told you, of course, that Shane Graham was signed as a backup for Spiesum. And today Tomlin said that Spiesum's hamstring injury is not significant, but they wanted to have a backup option. Cortez Allen, his ankle probably will practice later in the week. Heath, we learned, guys, will be doing some team activities this week, so obviously the arrow's pointed in the right direction for him on that. And no real update on Le'Veon Bell. Do you think there's any chance? Are we getting too excited about Heath, Wolf?
No, I think it's still going to be a little bit of time. I saw him after the game. I saw him before the game. And let me tell you something. Nobody's chomping at the bit harder to get on the field than Heath Miller. I mean, this guy is all about football. He's been through a rough offseason of rehabbing, which is tough for the knee, through training camp, and there's nothing worse than sitting around watching all your boys going at it and you're not able to line up and go. And then knowing that you can be impactful and do something in the wake of a loss like that, and you still got to hold back a little bit, but it is kind of getting exciting because it's not too long before we'll see.
Yeah, it's getting closer. I think that the step now, Wolf, is going to be how the knee responds to the heavier workload of practice. You know, he's going to take part probably in team drills, or at least that sounds like the plan based on what Mike Tomlin said today. And then you see how the knee reacts. I mean, if it swells or something, then they maybe have to back off. You kind of have to wait for the body part to tell you what it is capable of doing as you keep progressing. So it's on schedule. I think that, you know, if Heath Miller practices Wednesday and then is able to practice Thursday, then I'd say we're getting close. I still think Monday, though, is a little bit pushing it.
I would think so, too. And I will tell you this. It's going to take him a little bit of time because I have had the knee surgery, and I've come back, and I remember my first practice. Anytime somebody fell around my knee, I was picking the knee up like that. I remember John Colb said afterward, he goes, I was watching the film. You look like a cat on a hot tin roof. You just kept picking that foot up whenever anybody banged it. It'll take a little bit of time to get conditioned.
Coach Tomlin talked a lot about the ugly loss that happened on Sunday in the Steelers' home opener against the Tennessee Titans. He was asked if the offense struggling was a factor of missed assignments or if it was losing center Marquise Pouncey.
You know, we didn't play well, not only in the offensive line, but just as an offensive unit or as a football team, and that's something that we have to accept and embrace. And you know, the good thing about the NFL is, you know, Redemption Sunday or Monday in this instance is only a short number of days away. Obviously, losing Marquise Pouncey was a blow to the group, not only in terms of what he's capable of, but emotionally, the manner in which it happened. Hopefully, we'll put those things behind us and execute at a high level, a winning level. You know, you think back to 12 months ago, we went to Cincinnati. We were without Marquise Pouncey in that football game. I think Doug Lagursi started for us at center. So we've got a week to prepare. We're comfortable with the men that we're working with. We'll use that time to prepare, and there will be no excuses in regards to how we perform.
You know, it really didn't surprise me that the offensive line had an emotional letdown. Maybe even the entire offense had an emotional letdown. Seeing Marquise Pouncey, their offensive line leader, the best player on that unit, go down with what I believe everyone knew was a serious knee injury right away. What surprised me a little bit was that Mike Tomlin admitted it so readily that it was a factor. You know, I've always believed that, you know, those kinds of things, when they happen to a football team or a unit, you're only human beings, and you have to, there is some emotion there with regard to a guy that you've been through so much with, all of a sudden, you know, laying there screaming in pain, and everybody kind of knows what it is right away. So obviously, Mike Tomlin's admission to me showed that this was not the typical, you know, the next man up, the standard is the standard, all those cliches that are used in terms of injuries. Injuries are a part of the game. This one was a little bit of a special instance. And I'll give you the mourning period. Now it's got to be over, right, Wolf?
Absolutely.
I mean, you can have that. You know, to me, it's the one I remember most recently was, you know, in 2002 when Tommy Maddox went down in Tennessee. You know, you have a situation where, you know, they bring out the board, you know, all of that stuff, and, you know, he's your quarterback, and as the quarterback, he's your leader. And when you see a guy in that situation, you cannot help yourself but to have some emotion about it. How quickly you are able to put that behind you, I think, tells the tale of what kind of team this is going to end up being.
Well, I think those are great points, Bob. You know, one of the first things that you noticed when I was watching was Dave DeCastro's reaction. And I could see it in his face. Look, you have such respect for the guys that surround you, for the guys that you play with, that when you do something like that, to take a guy out, it was just such a case of friendly fire that just got away. And it's a shame. But then to put that out of your mind and be ready. The next couple plays were difficult. All across the board. I mean, Kelvin Beachin came out and started to snap the ball at Ben. The first one got loose in Ben's hands. The second one, Ben fumbled it. I'm sitting there going, whoa. But that's the significance of a Maurkice Pouncey, because everybody expects him to be rock solid and in there. Mike Webster was that man in that time frame. The quicker that you can put it behind you, move forward, and get together and resolve that, okay, the five of us, we go lock arms. We got to, you know, get back on this horse and ride it. The better off this club will be.
So the question now, Wolf, and I'll throw this one to you first, cut blocks. Coach Tomlin was asked about it today. Obviously an unfortunate accident of what happened, but where's your stance on cut blocks? Should they be allowed? Should they not?
Well, I think it's going to go the way of bell bottoms and 8-track cassettes or videotapes, whatever the things that we used to have. You know, the thing about it is that in a day and age where the NFL is really trying to make things safer, you're going to have to see something done about the cut blocks in line like that. In my day, it was the wild woolly west. I mean, people were pulling the trigger on cut blocks left and right, and not in a lot of times it was, you know, there was plenty of friendly fire. Fortunately, guys had worse aim and weren't quite so big. But certainly, you know, I would think that at some point you've got to move ahead and catch up with the rest of the safety rules that are being put upon.
I think it's going to be pretty interesting. I don't know if I necessarily would agree with you in terms of putting cut blocks in the same category as concussions. I think the concussion thing is more of a liability, long-term liability issue. You know, they'll give you a new knee. You know
well,
what I mean?
Well, I do understand that, but, you know, let me say this. I know you got to keep the cut tackle. I know open field cut blocks. I think one-on-one cut blocks are fine. I think it's when you get into that gray area where you can turn a guy and throw on the back of his legs. Not that I haven't participated a time or two.
Well, but it is legal.
Like that, but it was legal back then.
Right, yeah.
You know? And it's legal now. I just think for the benefit of the players, that's something
what happens
to
the running game in the NFL, though? If you take out the zone scheme and cut blocking and it's all gap running and power running, nobody can run the football anymore. Those guys are too big and too
strong. It's kind of going that way anyhow. And the fact of the matter is then you've got to start getting north and south with your backside seal blocks rather than getting a guy down on the ground. So, yeah, I mean, I can see both sides. And I'm not adverse to, you know, continuing the cut block. But I really think that when you make such a case about the fact of trying to, you know, protect the guy's noggin and all the other things that are coming along, I think you got to protect their knees too, because I can tell you as a guy 55 years old, those knees get a little crunchy the older you get.
Speaking of the run game, let's talk about Isaac Redman today. Coach Tomlin said he was willing to let Redman redeem himself this week. He is listed on the depth chart as a co-starter with Le'Veon Bell, who obviously has not played in the regular season just yet. But with the addition of Jonathan Dwyer, Labs, we'll start with you. Where do you see this running group kind of fitting, and who's your starter as of right now?
Well, I mean, you know, who I would start would be Felix Jones. And, you know, I understand, you know, one of the things that has always confounded me about coaches is, you know, there's often a dichotomy between the guy who knows his assignments and the guy who is the best player at the position. And coaches like people who know their assignments, Me, I like the guy who's the best player at the position. I think right now, as configured with the healthy bodies that the Steelers have there, Felix Jones is the best guy at the position, especially when we're talking about the kind of running game that the Steelers have been trying to implement this entire offseason. Felix Jones, to me, is more conducive to the outside zone scheme, stick his foot in the ground, one cut running, hit it up in there, than Isaac Redman. And obviously, Jonathan Dwyer, I won't say he's in the doghouse, but there has to be a reason that the guy who led the team in rushing last year, who led the team in rushing this preseason, got cut, and why that guy then, who had those credentials, was not picked up by anyone else. And he had a couple, three tryouts. So, you know, Jonathan Dwyer, to me, is listed third on the depth chart, and I kind of think that that's the way the Steelers are looking at him, as a guy who they will play if it is necessary. So, Missy, the question is, who would I start? I would start Felix Jones, and I would pare down the playbook or whatever in terms of running the football to things that he can understand and, you know, will be able to execute properly because, as I said, I think he's the best guy there.
I have no question that Felix Jones would be very good. My problem is that when you have a guy who's put the ball on the ground a couple times like Ike Redman, and then you go to LaRod Stevens-Holland, you lose him. And really, you go back to Ike Redman. I got a feeling that you're sitting there and you're going, okay, what's up with Ike? What's going on right now? I like the young man. I think he's a combative, tough runner and everything else. But the fact of the matter is maybe getting right back on the horse may not be the very best thing. Now, having said all that, you're left to Jonathan Dwyer. And I've always liked Jonathan in the cutback offense. I always thought he had, outside of Le'Veon Bell, he had the best vision, quite possibly, of all the backs and the best natural instincts. The problem is, you know, when Mike uses the thing about trust and so forth in his press conference.
Dependability
is what I mean. So that will lead me to believe, okay, now let's see how the week works out and what does Jonathan bring to the dance now. That's what I want to know.
Because the thing with Ike Redman, too, and I mean, I like him as well. I mean, he is, to me, in a lot of ways, the best option the Steelers have at running back in certain, you know, facets of the game, short yardage, goal line, maybe even as a, you know, personal protector on third downs. But now, Wolf, you mentioned the fumbles. You know, does he kind of turtle up a little bit, act a little, you know, be a little gun shy? And you don't want that either. I mean, you need a running back who's, you know, living on the edge a little bit, but you also want him to protect the football. It's a fine line you have to walk, as one famous ex-Steelers coach always used to say. And I don't know. If it's me, Coach Labriola, Felix Jones, you're my starter.
All right, well, here's what Coach Tomlin had to say about getting Jonathan Dwyer back and also his plans for using him.
That depends on his dependability, obviously, his ability to get up to speed with the game plan things. He's been away from us for a couple of weeks now. Obviously, I don't anticipate that being a major problem, but we'll play it by ear and see how he looks on the practice field and in the classroom.
Was it a mistake to let Jonathan Dwyer go?
You know, like I said last week, we kept the guys that we kept because of the things they did, not because of the things that Jonathan didn't do. We were encouraged by the versatility of LaRod Stevens-Howland, what he's able to do in spread packages and in the passing game. Obviously, he got hurt. That presented an opportunity to bring what we believe is a capable NFL player back. Thankfully for us, no one acquired him. And really, that's the story in regards to the running back and Jonathan's leaving and Jonathan's return.
There's so much that comes out of Coach Tomlin's press conference. We like to give our viewers a little bit of a flavor, sometimes the funny things he says or things he doesn't say. And this week, Coach Tomlin was asked if he had any positive thoughts about the fact that all the teams in the AFC North did not pick up a win in week one.
Mike, as tough as it was to watch on Sunday, do you take any solace from the fact that nobody in the division won in opening week and you're sort of right back where you were a week ago?
I don't.
Is there anything that, I mean, this is supposed to be a really competitive division, do you make anything of the fact that the other three teams lost too?
I don't.
You know, it's that's Mike Tomlin. I mean, the more press conferences of his you go to, you know not to ask him those big picture questions, or as he says, I don't look at it globally. You know, every coach has his things where You know, as soon as it became with Chuck Noll, I remember, as soon as you would ask him to compare something or talk about history, no, I forget about it. I enjoy that give and take a little bit. I'm sure if you're asking the question and get that kind of an answer, you know, that might not be the way, your favorite moment of that. But, again, it entertains me, Wolf, so.
You know, he will give you that withering glare,
yeah.
You know, that look that says, yeah, I probably didn't want to ask that one.
Well, it wasn't so much a glare as it was just matter of fact.
But there's a glare hiding behind some of those.
Then the other one, similar, it was off the subject of the division, about Chip Kelly and whether his offense is going to revolutionize the NFL. And it was something similar to, you know, I don't know or whatever.
Well, that is it for today's Steelers.com Live. Wolf, tell everybody what tomorrow is, though.
Oh, yeah. Mike, hump day. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That would be Ben's day. Sorry.
That
all worked out.
That is right. Wolf will be back with me tomorrow along with Mike Prosciutto. For Wolf and Bob, I'm Missy. Thanks for joining us on Steelers.com Live. We'll see you again tomorrow at 4:00.